Okay. Now, I want us to very muchly, I'm still captured by that song. I mean, if oil is like perfume, amen? And I mentioned this, and I still almost sent somebody to get that, but somebody here in this congregation they purchased a very wonderful perfume. And they purchased it for themselves, and God really showed them that they were to give it to us. And I've been praying over that thing, and it's on my little table next to my desk. And I keep looking at that box, and I've never taken it out because I'm still waiting for God to tell me. When I received that, God just said to me, this is going to be used in a very special way. Now, I could give it to Kathy, and she could smell good. Boy, that would be good. All right, sometimes she doesn't smell so good. And, okay. Yeah, she's going to flip the peanut butter at me. All right. So, moving right along. So, what was I saying? Oh, it's this box, beautiful box, beautiful name that I can't even say. In fact, it has two names. Very significant kind of thing. And but God just really showed me that when He asked this person to give this, it was not just for us to consume it. And then the song, you know, that we discovered, some people have known it longer than me. I heard it somewhere and was just captured by that phrase, if my life is whatever, my praise is like perfume to pour it out, whatever those words are. But I became captured by it, and then somebody gave us this perfume, and I just keep waiting. I look at it day by day when I go in my office, and I just keep waiting for heaven to tell me what to do with that perfume. And I tell you, I believe that God is getting ready. As we further pour out, He's going to further pour out, and there's going to be some real prophetic releases with that perfume that's going to be just a tremendous blessing. Amen? So anticipate it. Anticipation is good. Expectation is good. Might, if we could come at another scriptural word, it would be hope. All right? Hope. There's a hope. There's something's arising. Okay? As Dax expressed that earlier, just something that's building that. Yeah, it has something to do with our obediences. It has something to do with our yieldedness. It has something to do with our cooperation. But overwhelmingly, it has to do with the fact that He's pouring out Himself to us. Amen. Amen. That's going to cause something inside of us just to give back to Him in unprecedented ways. And I believe that the world is in the midst of a great harvest that's being produced by our Father who is in heaven. Amen? And I believe that more and more every day that goes by, because I see what He's doing, but then I also see what the devil is doing and what the world is doing, and if those things are accelerating, so's God. Because God's ahead of the curve. Amen! I mean, God is still king, even with the stuff that's happening in the world, and He's moving in the direction of the great, great manifestation of His Son in all the earth. All right, so I've never been so excited in all my life, all right? Now, Daniel made a statement some weeks back that he said, well, I don't know how long I'm going to go in this series because I don't know how long before he'll get antsy and have to say something, all right? I'm enjoying not talking. Now, I talk on other days. It's not like I don't talk. I talk a lot. But the fact is, I'm enjoying receiving from the Father. All right, now I spend a lot of time giving out, as you know. I mean, all the things that we do, the places we go. I'm enjoying receiving. I'm enjoying that opportunity to see what God is bringing out of heaven, depositing into Daniel, that the Father is being able to give to us. It's just a phenomenal moment. But it does give me a moment in the midst of a lot of other busy activities and responsibilities and a lot of other things to talk about to receive and have some time to receive in a different way. Because I don't have to stand here in front of you every service, giving out and giving out, which I thank God for that because it's a wonderful privilege to receive from heaven and pour those things out. But there's something powerful that's happening in the kingdom of God. And we have the opportunity to be alive at this moment. And I tell you, I'm going to refer in a moment to a prayer meeting that we were in just in this last week, just three families, I guess, that gathered together to pray about some specific things. And God opened up some things about that, but mainly gave us a revelation that's so intense in regard for Him and His kingdom. It has to do with the specific issue, but yet beyond that, it has to do with every issue because it's a revelation of Him. All right? So my point becomes, He's just doing something special in this moment. Now, the thing about God is the fact that He doesn't move by accident, and everything He does, He just keeps building one thing upon another, one revelation after another. Look at the beginning in Genesis, and everything that God has done, He just keeps unfolding more about Himself. The time in which we're living is different than any time in which any person has ever lived. Amen. What God's wanting to give of the kingdom, you can't find expressed at any other moment. You can find types, you can find shadows, you can find what Pentecost was in the Old Testament at Sinai. You can find out what Pentecost was then following the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ almost 2,000 years ago. You can find what that is, but what Pentecost is to be now, again, is a bigger, more mature manifestation of the Christ. Just take a deep breath and think about that a minute. I mean, let expectation build inside of you for the greater manifestations of the Father. I believe that some of us are even being limited in what we're experiencing because we're trying to experience something that has already been, rather than abandoning ourselves just in pouring out to Him to receive what He wants to give in this very moment. I tell you, He has something special that He's building to give at this moment. Now, I want to use a passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And let's just go to that first of all, Mark chapter 4, verse 26. We've seen this, we've known this, so let's all pray this prayer because I think it's very important. God, deliver us from familiarity. Say it. Yeah. Yeah. I interrupted you. Okay. Say, God, deliver us from familiarity. Amen. And open our hearts to You. Amen. That's what He's wanting to do at this moment. But it says this in verse 26. And He was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And I have a bit of bad news. My watch isn't working. So I have no idea what time it was, nor did I ever pay attention to it anyway. But this, you're in a very dangerous spot. Okay, so I've got my watch here. I mean my clock, whatever. What is that, a phone? Okay, let's read it again. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Now, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, God is giving us the kingdom at this moment. Amen? So we're going to seek the kingdom. And He said, the kingdom is like this. He said, it's like this man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows, how he himself does not know. Now, at this moment, just prophetically, in light of everything God's been saying to us over these last months, into years, into centuries, this is a moment where God is saying there are things growing that we don't know about. Everybody say hallelujah. That encourages me that God's up to something that I don't know about. Because I want to see something bigger than I know about. Not just that I'm experiencing, even that I've seen. He's bigger, He's beyond, and He's after something very, very special. There are things we don't know that the kingdom is up to, and where does the kingdom exist right now for every one of us? Inside of us, individually, right? And corporately, this kingdom is inside of us. It is eternal kingdom that is breaking forth. So it means right now, God's getting ready to surprise every one of us. Amen. Amen. That was a good response. But we need to really respond that God's just going to surprise us. Daniel talked about it out of the book of Ephesians, that God is doing exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now, whether I think He is or not, and I can look at a lot of things and say, He's not exceeding what I've asked. God, by His own nature, is working now in His kingdom that knows no end, that is always increasing. He is working something beyond my expectation. So then what do I need to do? I can miss what he's doing because if my expectation and my hope is not in him, then I can actually miss it when he's standing there wanting to give it. I say, God, release expectation and hope inside of us to believe that you're up to stuff that we don't even know what you're doing. Amen. I tell you, you'll wake up different tomorrow morning. You will. And I believe that's the way he wants us to wake up tomorrow morning, is with hearts that know. Don't care what, I mean, I like to get up first thing if I start. Now, the thing about it, God starts getting me up somewhere around 4 o'clock every morning. I may not always get out of bed, but I'm awake and I'm hearing what God is saying. And then he says some more things and I may fall back to sleep. And then I hear some more things. And then somewhere between 4 and 6, I'm out of bed and I turn on Fox News and CNN and I bounce back and forth. And dear God, that's never good news. So I'm thanking God for what he's telling us about his kingdom. He is up to great things by his own declaration. He has a king that is ruling. Okay, let's make a decision. I'm going to thank God tonight, tomorrow, when I go to bed, when I get up tomorrow, I'm going to get up with an expectation thanking God for what he's up to that I don't even know about. Now, the good news, I've shared it a lot. Daniel shared it further today. God in Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. We are the sheep. By his very nature, he's leading us. Amen. Be more excited about that. He's not a bad shepherd. He's a good shepherd. We may be bad. We may be weak. We may have our mistakes. We may need to confess a whole bunch of sin, but God doesn't. And God's not ignoring us, and God's not for failing to hear what we're saying. He is up to great things, readying himself to show himself. What did he say to us a few weeks ago as we're preparing for this school year? God said, this is my year to show off. What a God. When he said, well, I don't know if I can make it or not, or I don't know, is he really going to do it? No, everything about God is show off. I mean, just think about it. Everything about God is show off. From creation to life to redemption, everything that he did is powerful and majestic and holy and glorious. And that God is saying, I'm going to show off in this year. And listen, I told Kay the other day, I said, you need to start compiling. We're getting so many reports of things that God is doing in people's lives. Some of you sitting in this room right now, so many great things that he's doing because he's going off. Amen. And he's just going to keep it up. And we need to chronicle what he does. Listen, when we wake up, it's going our way. We have a chance to conquer and have dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. I was pondering today. I have lots of challenges and lots of different ways. And I was reading again, you know, when Jesus was walking with his disciples and they saw the blind man who'd been blind from birth. He said, who sinned? The parents or this guy? Jesus said, this is so the works of God might be displayed in him. And I just heard God say, so what where you've messed up? So what where you faltered? So what where you haven't done this? So what, so what, so what? So what this thing is bigger than you are. I have things that I look at that look impossible, that look bigger than, that looks like how can it happen? Look at the Middle East and everything that is happening there. It looks impossible. We hear governments saying it was going to go this way. Now we hear, well, it's really going this way. But the realization is it's going God's way. And a kingdom of darkness, it's going its way because God said it's going to go that way because he's going to show himself glorious and he's going to show the works of God in the midst of that which hell has done. That's our God. Amen? Okay, just realize this. Whatever you face today, it is so what? So the works of God might be displayed in you. Now you're going to have to get more excited about that. A lot more. No, you're going to have to get a lot more because some situations that many of us face, they're tough. They're debilitating. They're deteriorating. They're just heavy. But everything we face is so that the works of God might be displayed through us. Not the works of the devil. He was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Okay, expectation, hope. Okay, I just want us to start thanking God. God, I thank you're up to stuff that I don't know about. And thank you, God. I'm glad to know that. You say, well, when I see it, I'm, no, you need to believe it now. God, I believe you. You said it. You're up to stuff that I don't know about, and it's glorious, and it's big, and it's powerful. No, you need to get excited about it. I mean, slap yourself, shake yourself, stir yourself up, encourage yourself. That's the Word of God. Hallelujah. So this is a moment God's preparing every one of us to be bigger, stronger, badder. Now, I've seen some movies, and the language is not so good. That really expresses the attitude some of us ought to have about the devil. I mean, we need it. Kathy's she's rebuking me, okay? She doesn't ever agree with that statement, okay? Or she never agrees with my pleasure on some of those things. No. Okay, there's something powerful about God right now. Amen. He's up to stuff we don't know about. And he wins every time. I mean, just think about it. According to the revelation of the Word, it says this, if the rulers of this age would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, he pulled a big one over on them. Is that right? Well, he's pulling a big one over on the devil right now in your life at this minute. Is that good news? Shout unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, God is strengthening us with every revelation that's coming out of the book of Ephesians. Amen. I mean, if God can just settle into us that it's seal the deal. If he can settle into us that we're to be rooted and grounded in love. And you can't fail to be rooted and grounded in love because you're rooted and grounded in him who is the true vine. And I'm telling you, that is filled with the love of a great God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in every revelation that's coming forth, God is at work in you. Up to stuff you don't know about. Suddenly, burst forth inside of you that you realize, he's my Father. And the deal is sealed. And the deal is settled because of what? Because of the promises and the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So here he is. He's up to this great thing. And you need to decide. He himself does not know. We don't know. But I tell you, he's doing it. When has his kingdom ever failed? When has he ever come off his throne? When has his son ever been overcome? Never. So we just need to rise up every day going, God, I thank you that you're up to great things today that I don't even know about, and you're going to show off this year through my life. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Verse 28. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, there's always been a harvest. But the harvest is at various times, various seasons, various intensities, fought by various things of this world, flesh and the devil, expanded by the kingdom of all that God is doing. Now listen, and we know that it says that one day this Christ is satisfied with the travail of his soul, and that the church achieves the full measure of the stature of Christ and becomes perfect before God. So that means whatever harvest has ever been at any time and is today is not that which is being measured out and perfected by the grace of God that is beyond what I understand at this moment. Did you get that? I hope. Because I could never repeat it. In other words, everything, richer and fuller is the word he gave us a few years ago, everything is becoming more mature at this moment because of what God is up to. You can't keep from having it happen. You may miss it. You may miss the day of your visitation, but the kingdom is going to do what the king says the kingdom is going to do. And those who miss it, miss it. And those who don't, walk into it. And those who walk into it are further perfected into what God is wanting to be. That's good news for every one of us. Because we're here. We're active. We're looking. We're awake, O sleeper. All right. Okay, so here we are in the midst of this. And God says, this is what's happening. He's up to things that we don't even know about. We don't understand it. And that's good news that I don't have to understand it. I mean, I don't know about you, and I know about some of you, because I've had conversations with you. I know about Kathy, I know about me, I know about a lot of people in a lot of places. Everybody throughout the kingdom of God are asking all these questions by saying, why is this happening, or why is this not happening, or I don't understand. I've never heard I don't understand so much as I've heard out of people in these last years. I've heard out of myself, I don't understand. The news that broke into me a while ago as I was meditating on it, I don't have to understand. What I have to do is cast all my faith in the kingdom. The king says this about the kingdom. The kingdom is on this line, and this is what's going to happen in some generation somewhere by the grace of God, because the king has said it with his glory and with his power. Amen. So you listen to what the word says. You listen to what the spirit is saying. You listen to what the prophets are saying by the spirit of God, and you realize that's the hour in which I'm living. This is the moment where we are in the kingdom of God. Now just think about it. From every moment that all the feasts that God gave to his people from the beginning of time, when he first instituted these feasts and they became something that God said, every year you pay attention to these things, every year those things become fuller and richer, etc., etc., etc. Okay, all the years that Passover was remembered, one day it became totally fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And all the rams and the lambs and the bullocks and all those things that had to be sacrificed found it being overcome by the reality of the blood of the Lamb that cries the mercy of God, because the blood of God cries mercy. Amen? And this great power of what God is releasing by his grace and by his power, it was fulfilled. Pentecost, again, Mount Sinai, when they came out of Egypt. We've been through all these things. I'm not going to teach you on this. But the reality is the fact that on Sinai, when God gave the law, all that, 3,000 people died. The law was given and all those things set up. On the day of Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there were 3,000 people saved. And the Spirit of God was poured out by his power. It ushered in a whole new moment in the kingdom of God, because the king was alive and the blood of the Lamb had been sacrificed and the blood had been carried into the very entrance of God, thus setting the way for all to enter into his grace. It was fulfilled. Passover and Pentecost was all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. There's a third one that was given. There are others that are along the way, but there's a third one that was given, made up of three. This whole thing of the Feast of Tabernacles is the only feast that now has not had a fulfillment in Christ. Okay. That means this. So every generation that has gone by, all the remembrances of Passover before Christ, is a God-ordained, powerful manifestation of his word and his presence. With the fulfillment of Christ and all that God does and how he wants us to continue to walk in those things, that becomes a powerful manifestation of Jesus Christ in the victory. All right. But tabernacles, and also, see how much longer it's been remembered out of Hebrew Jewish history without a fulfillment? Well, before Jesus came, it was the same way. Before Pentecost, it was the same way. Tabernacles is the same way. But every year, there is a greater manifestation and a closer manifestation to the ultimate fulfillment of all that Tabernacles is to be.
not just what God has done, but what it means it's going to happen in the lives of individuals and in the life of His corporate people, be they Jew, be they Gentile. There is something that God's up to right now that I understand a little bit and in part and a little bit of it, but God's up to something powerful that's going to cause all of Israel to be saved and the times of the Gentiles to totally be fulfilled by the grace of God. Now, I've shared this before, but years ago, with a manifestation of Jesus appearing on a wall to Stephen Jeffries, it was 1914, when Jesus appeared in a church service, and I referred to it not long ago, so I won't go through the whole thing again, although it's such a powerful story. But when they saw this thing, and Jesus manifested there on the wall, what God communicated to Stephen Jeffries was this was a sign that something very serious and sobering was getting ready to happen. Okay? Within half a month, the world found itself in World War I. All right? Again, a great attack of the devil and that all those historical things that are there. But God also said to him that this he felt that this was the end of the times of the Gentiles. And when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, then things will be further happening with Israel. All right? Now, when I look at that, when I looked at that years ago, I looked at it from the standpoint, well, it couldn't be because the Gentiles are still coming in and the Jews aren't coming to Jesus and that. But later on, as I understand more about the kingdom, when you understand that historically I knew, but I didn't have these dots put together, that the whole understanding was that the Balfour Treaty tried to get it and had the Jewish people in a position to go back to Israel, and they didn't go. And then God was moved. But the thing of it is, God was trying to get His people. And again, trying, He doesn't fail, but people don't respond, just like the children of Israel not going into the promised land and spent 40 years wondering. So then you come to the standpoint of that was happening and something began to change because God's heart said, no, it's time for my people to go back to the land, which is but the beginning of the fulfillment of all that God is saying for all of His kingdom, Jew and Gentile alike. And then in 1948, with the whole thing, of course, World War II broke out, all of the atrocities that happened at that time. But the realization is that God was moving to get His people back into the land. In 1948, when Israel became a nation, the church began to change. Not my word. I mean, that's what history will tell you. Everything began to change. The Oral Roberts and the many of the healing evangelists and Billy Graham and all of these ministries came up. And the whole face of the church began to change. And God began to pour in revelation of these things that brings all things into completion, into the maturity of the full measure of the stature of Christ. Well, listen, that's still happening. This is the moment that God is going to bring a total fulfillment to everything that He has said concerning this last feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, which includes the Jewish New Year, the Rosh Hashanah, which then includes what, and we talked to Him about that, but then includes what we've just experienced in these last days and last hours of Yom Kippur, all right, the highest holy day. Listen, Jesus Christ carried His blood into the heavenlies and atoned for our sin. Yes! Folks, that's good news. That's a powerful revelation. And that's what we've just experienced. And I had the privilege of being able to go with Gary and Susie Beck to the temple in Seminole and experience some of those things from a different perspective, from the Jewish historical perspective and what they do year by year of those things. The confessing of sin. I mean, we confessed a lot of sin. I've confessed more sin than I committed yesterday. Not yesterday, but any day this last year, all right? I mean, we confess some sin now, all right? But we do. And then as I'm doing those things, I'm remembering Daniel in Scripture. He said, God, forgive us. And he wasn't the one that sinned as all those other bad people. But he was crying out for his nation. He was crying out for the people. Then he began to understand a little more. We need to cry out. Then, yeah, God, Jesus said, if you remit anybody's sin, they're remitted. If you retain them, they're retained. In other words, we need to cry out for the mercy of God to break people free by His grace. Amen? But I mean, what a blessing it was to be able to stand there and confess sin and stay and seek to be right before God, realizing that there are no more blood of goats and rams and anything else. It is the blood of the Lamb that allows us to stand there worshiping and magnifying God by His grace and by His love, and realizing the power of the love that God gave us in Jesus Christ. I mean, I just found myself falling in love all the more with God. Amen. And then when I saw Gary holding the Torah, all right, and that rabbi holding the Torah, and I'm thinking, God, thank you for the revelation that you gave to our father Abraham. And there was a whole new something burst inside to me of a realization that, oh, yes, the God of Abraham, the God of our fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one that gave us all of these tribes, this great God has glorified His Son Jesus. Hallelujah! And it's all I could do to not shout, scream. I mean, it's like what I when I saw the Passion. I mean, we heard all these things about it brings everybody to a sobering moment, and it did. And all this stuff about that. But I tell you, when that light came on Jesus in that tomb and He stood up, I didn't want to be somber. I would go, He's alive! Hallelujah! That's my Jesus. I don't have one hanging on. He's alive! And He lives inside of my heart. Amen? Okay. But I was blessed. I was blessed realizing the revelation. So thankful to the Lamb of God that I've been able to be absolutely covered, atoned for, forgiven of my guilt, and empowered by His living blood. Hallelujah. What a great God. Well, the Day of Atonement, we've just gone through it. It's the day when the priest went in there one time a year, when he could speak the name of God, and when he gave these sacrifices and atoned for the sins of the people. And think we've got one, and read out of the book of Hebrews this great Jesus that's entered in as our high priest. I tell you, I found a love for God, and I think about, oh man, all that stuff they taught us, John, that you teach your students, our students here, and you make them learn all this stuff about the way that how they inscribed these things and looked at every word and did every word and every letter and was careful with every letter and the way they preserved the oral traditions and all those things. I'm saying, who cares? For the first time in my life, sitting there watching Gary hold that door, I thought, I care. God precisely, with precision and care, treasure, gave us a treasure of His own revelation, His own name. It just turned me into more of a rabid person than I was, all right? I thought, God, have mercy. You're so special. You're so special by your grace. It's a great God. The Day of Atonement, most holy day. There's nothing more holy than what our God has done in atoning for our sins, covering for our sins, and empowering us that we would not sin. And it makes things, you realize these great things. I mean, be imitators of God as dear children. When you realize what a great loving God He is, it just makes those things come alive inside of your spirit. I want to be an imitator of God. I want to be a lover of humanity like God is a lover of humanity. I want to love God like, we love Him because He first loved us. Listen, you don't have trouble obeying God when you know how much He loves you. Amen. I'll take more than that. Say amen. 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 When you understand how much He loves you and what He gave for you, you absolutely just want to pour out your life in praise as a perfume all over Him because He's worthy of our praise and our adoration. Okay, so He said all of those things. He said, well, it all begins, this kingdom. It, first of all, look at verse 28. The soil produces crops by it. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. Passover, the unleavened bread, and the sheaf of first fruits. We taught on those many months ago, a year or so ago. Christ, at His first coming, His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's Passover. That's what we were talking about. It's been fulfilled in Christ. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, for Jew and Gentile alike. Man, I love the pictures of Pentecost, the grinding of the flour down fine enough. You lose your own individual identity, as a grain of wheat being put together to be able to be produced bread for a world, that light that comes out. I mean, you get over into Tabernacles, one of the feasts that came later, not just in the New Testament, but later embraced by Judaism and endorsed by Jesus, was the Feast of Illumination and the Feast of the Pouring Out of Water. Boy, we're going to get into those later on. Not just get into it because I'm going to teach you about them. You're going to get into it because God's going to pour out water on you. Say amen. Because I tell you, He's doing something more than us talking about it. He's doing it. Listen, just think about it. Remember, if you were here this morning, I was struck by it, all right? But when Daniel got up here and read those first words, think about what happened. Be imitators of God as beloved children. There was a certainty of the presence of God that just instantly was manifested. Do you feel that? I mean, I sat there a minute. I looked at Kathy. I said, there's a great presence of God here. He's here. He's here. And it's more than just we're talking about Him or this. No, He's here. And something about it reached out and started making us. The kingdom started doing in us that we are going to be imitators of God as beloved children. Not that you have to try to. The kingdom is producing it in you now by His grace and by His power. Amen. I get too excited about things, okay? So I'd ask you to forgive me, but I don't want you to. I was sitting, you know, all the stuff God's been giving us about the whole aspect of His Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The fact that it's living, it's active, it's doing something. The names, the blessing is in the name. When you speak the name is there. I mean, you know all those things. I just keep going back to it. God just keeps me going into those names and decreeing those names. I mean, that prayer time I mentioned the other night, by the end of it, with some of the things that God was sharing, the way He sealed it up, He would just express to me, this is El Olam. This revelation is coming from El Olam. Feel it. El Olam. He had us do a study on it some weeks ago. He's this what? This everlasting God, time, God without time. This everlasting God. God without past the vanishing point. This God that has no beginning. He has no end. He's all future. He's all past. He's just everything. Suddenly I realized El Olam was touching us. I didn't try to get Him to. All of a sudden I realized that's what He is. So we invoked further El Olam, the blessing and the power within the name. Then as God had us sharing things about confession, decreeing, the testimony, all those things that He did over these last 3 years. The whole thing with the revelation people are getting about quantum physics and all of those things and the things about, well, all the stuff that's already happened has already come by and it's been there. Stuff out of, you know, Ecclesiastes that you had trouble understanding. Suddenly you understand that it's explaining this great God, this El Olam, this everlasting. And He does really have good works prepared beforehand for us to walk in by His grace. And if we mess it up, He's going to put us right back on the track because it's eternal in His own nature and His own plan. That's a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. Then some time ago, so this was a few years ago, somebody, I don't remember now who it is, so forgive me if you're in here. It's not that I'm not thinking who you are. I just can't think who you are. But somebody gave us a CD by a Hebrew man that he had discovered that there's a real anointing in the Hebrew. The language itself. And I talked about this. Some of you remember. And he did this CD and he records these songs with the Hebrew language. And they're just a special presence. There's a special anointing with it. And what he discovered was that, and there's a machine that somebody developed and I read about it on the internet. And I was glad that I looked a little bit further than the first thing that was on that CD. Because what this person was saying, that the Hebrew language, there are certain sounds, which is frequencies, that when you make those frequencies, that it forms letters. And there's a machine that takes these vibrations and forms these letters and symbols in sand or in water, the vibration. You've seen some things like that on movies, all right? But what he was saying was that the Hebrew language causes certain sounds make certain letters of the Hebrew language. And not only that, certain frequencies and certain pitches will form the Star of David. Wow. I go, wow, what a special language. Wish I'd have paid attention in Hebrew class. then I thought, well, boy, is it only the Hebrew language that does that? So I thought, maybe I need to check a little bit more. So I went on the internet and I looked up some things, and I found out that also that happens. It doesn't happen with English. It doesn't happen with Spanish. It doesn't happen with French. It doesn't happen with Russian. It doesn't happen with any other language except religious languages, like Sanskrit, religious language out of Egypt. If somebody, you know, the I don't have the right frequency, I'm sure. But you know the meditation in Eastern mystic religion? They do that. It forms, you know, that picture. It doesn't form the man, but you know that picture of the guy with his arms out and the various lines that shows. You've seen it in places. I don't know what it's called. It'll form those points. There's a certain frequency that when you do it out of the Hebrew letters and the Hebrew sound, it forms the Star of David. Also, the Navajo tribe, Native American Indians, their history, their tradition says that when they do certain chants, they find themselves, there would be things in the dirt and around the campfire that would form certain symbols or could communicate things to them, would form some of the letters of their own language. Isn't it interesting that it was the Navajos that were used with the secret of their language that Hitler was never able to break in World War II? It's religious language. So listen, if somebody that's not a believer, that's not some kind of rabid preacher trying to exalt the Hebrew language. This is a secular person who's interested in science and vibrations and frequencies that tried these things for whatever reason and came up with these things. My point becomes this. There's power in His name. Number 6 says, so they shall invoke My name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. That there's a power and a blessing in the name. The revelation, when God spoke the language, it's not, Hebrew is not just another language among other languages. The other religious languages are just not another language. Their religious language means they either come from the Father God of heaven or they come from the perpetuator of the false things and the what, counterfeit, that's the word I'm after, that produces, I mean, there really are demons. There really is a Satan. There really is a language. There really is a power of hell. It influences people through the musics that have been, and it causes people to do certain things. Same way over here with our God. Why is it that Paul included again in Ephesians? And I told you I'm going to put all this stuff together. Are we hearing what God's saying? Why is it that today Daniel read again out of, what is that, Ephesians chapter 5? We're to do what? We're to meet one another with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to God to strengthen one another and to help one another. Why? Why? Just because you ought to like to sing? There's a God that is a God of revelation that's wanting to pour into our spirits the manifestation of Himself. Why is it the Word of God says, and Daniel keeps bringing, the message is we must become worshipers. Give me a bigger yes, amen, and have that. Yes, be a worshiper. Sing. Make melody. See, I can tell again, you're not. We need to sing, man. We need to sing. We need to make melody. I loved it. I have no idea. What was that Jewish rabbi saying when he would stop? He would be making those confessions and then he'd start doing a little humming. Yeah, I'm sure you can't know. What was that he was doing? Yeah, we were confessing sins, and then he kind of went into a little melody. The melody does what? Okay. Yeah, I was hitting my chest. Yeah, I don't like that sin. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was singing to us. It was a chant, yeah. Say chant, singing, whatever, you know. What I do, I don't know. Daniel says I don't do good singing. But I sing. I mean, Daniel and Yasha went to one of the first worship conferences they went to years ago, the Worship Institute. There's a seminar there, says, you know, for music and worship leaders who have pastors that don't know what they want to do and they're not really for it. They came back saying, that's good, because Yasha said, Dad wants us to worship. Man, I mean, like tonight, I just got all lost in that song and she quit. I just looked at her and she goes, no. All right. It's like, and some of you know, I mean, I'm always humming something. I mean, I've had some people get really upset at me for doing it. In fact, mad at me. Like, I may punch you. Why you do that? I can't keep from doing it. Something inside of me wants to express unto God. That's why that verse is in there, making melody with hymns and songs. Oh, God, let's sing. Amen? Okay, now, Friday night, as we were there at the temple, I noticed something. One of the things that we were reading, it talked about not the land of Israel, and there are references to that, but it talked about where God was saying, my people Israel, and we did some confession. My people Israel. I thought, it's the people. It's always been about the people. It's not the land they're fighting. You ask them today, it's the land. They're fighting over the land. It's the people. My people Israel. Gary's going to give me more insight. He said he would. I asked him about it. My people Israel. The next morning, when I went back, they handed me a little sheet of paper. It's the second time I got to read something. When I was there for Rosh Hashanah, I got to read a little bit out of their thing, and I was really surprised that I got to read anything. But anyway, so then they handed me another one. I didn't get one in the first session. I was kind of disappointed, and then a man came up behind me and handed me one. And guess what? I got to read. You know what I got to read? The one that declared, my people, Israel. I thought, God, you're so good. I got to say it out loud. Making the declaration, because that's what's on your heart. That's what's in your people. That's what you're wanting us to know by your grace. I was blessed, okay? Then I got assigned another one and I got to read. And this one was sobering. It was about these rabbis that had been killed. The first one. And these are, you know, you guys have been around me long enough to know that, I mean, I'm up for a good fight. I want to stand my ground. I want to see demons destroyed. I want to see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has suffered violence, Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist to now, and the violent take it by force. In other words, there are some times where you've got to make a stand. Daniel called it non-negotiables. What's non-negotiable? What's non-negotiable? We all know the stories of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Stephen, Paul, John. Well, here's some stories I'd never read. In the days of the Romans, they told this rabbi that he could not ordain anyone. And he ordained five young workers. They came for him. The young guys are going, what do we do? I mean, I got to read this. It's overpowering to me. And he said, flee, and I will stand as an immovable rock. And 300 Roman spears later, his body became a sieve, is what it said. There's something inside of me. Just kept rising up, thanking God for people that will honor the name, that will cherish the revelation, that will not compromise. So David declared it, the uncompromisingly righteous are those that are blessed of the Lord. It just further steals something inside of my spirit. Then the next sentence is, this is the one I really loved. They told this rabbi, you cannot teach from the Torah anymore. Don't know the dates. Time of the Romans kind of dates it, but the other one I don't really know. So you can't teach from the Torah, but he did. So they came, they took him, they bound him, they wrapped him, holding his Torah, and they put limbs all around him. Going to burn him. And then they said they put wool over his heart so he wouldn't die fast. I don't understand that. Dax can probably explain it. They put wool over his heart so he wouldn't die so fast, so he'd suffer more. And they light him on fire. And his last words, now remember everything I've said coming up to this point tonight. His last words were these: the parchment, the Torah, the scrolls, the parchment. The parchments are burning, but the letters are flying free. Let that soak in. Did you get it? The words, the letters. You can't kill the letters. You can't kill the Word of God. You can't kill the revelation of what He said. And he was able to see the power as his spirit was leaving and life was going away and his spirit was being free. There was a power in the revelation that comes out of heaven. Oh, when I read those stories and saw Gary holding that Torah, I thought, oh God, the preciousness that you would give of yourself to us in the multitudes of ways that you've done that. Boy, I mean, I've always been a lover of the Bible and a lover of the revelation. But I love it and cherish it all the more because it's so precious to our God. Feast of Tabernacles, we're in it. The new year, the trumpet, repent, calling a whole nation back. Do we need to see this nation call back to the Father? Do we need to see the church call back to the Father? Yeah. Daniel hitting us with those hard questions he's been giving us over these last 2 weeks. All right. The Day of Atonement. The sacrifice. The precious Lamb of God. That's the second feast among the whole Feast of Tabernacles. And the last is the booths, the tabernacling. The whole message is that one day God is going to tabernacle with his people. Now we know the heavens open up and the new Jerusalem comes down and God tabernacles. He lives with his people forever. We know that's what he said to Moses. I want to be with my people. Build me this tabernacle. I want to be there. I want to dwell in their midst. And every generation brings a greater revelation of his tabernacling presence. I thought his tabernacles, what did God say a few weeks ago for the school? Not just that this is my year to show off, but the name that he gave us out of Isaiah 8 was the name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, tabernacling with us, is the Messiah born 2,000 years ago, died, buried, resurrected, glorified, sitting at the right hand of God saying, I'm coming again to fill you with myself before I come again on the clouds of glory, bringing you into perfection. And I'm going to do that by the ingathering of my grace and by my power. Hallelujah. Listen, almost every week for several, I get emails or telephone calls from people that would be prodigals that have walked away from the Father. They were today in the service. Others, this is God is doing something. But what is this moment? What is this moment? What did he set us in praying some months ago? This is a time. Haya Samada. Let there be reaping. Ruach Elohim. The breath, the Spirit of God. Ruach Elohim. Rakoff. He's brooding. He's hovering. He's going to give us these commands. He's going to give us things to say, and we declare them. Then he manifests those things. Listen, our God, I don't know what Lasada means. That was the next thing he gave us, was Haya Lasada. But I keep saying it, Haya Lasada. I don't know what it means, but I guarantee it has a whole lot to do with light that Daniel was talking about today. Light. Part of the tabernacle, as I said, is this feast of illumination. Listen, light, the greatest light of the world, Jesus, is getting ready to manifest in the greatest maturity and perfection in every one of our lives over these next days going into this Feast of Tabernacles. And He's going to tabernacle with us in the greatest ways ever tabernacled in individual lives, in our families, and in this church, in His church throughout the world, because He's getting ready to show Himself to a world that is in need. Tabernacles, a great time of ingathering. It's an ingathering. It's a gathering together. The families of the nations, He says, He's gathering together to worship, to praise, and to magnify Him. Listen, this is a great moment. Now, I'm not going to teach on all this stuff. I'm just saying this is what we can hope for and expect for. It's happening. Listen, I mean, the devil's doing everything he can to destroy people, and God's doing everything he can to draw people, and they're hearing. I mean, I got emails and calls from people this week that says, look, he probably wouldn't take me back. But would he? Yes! He will. He's saying it. We're praying it. We're decreeing it. Ruach, breath of God, Ruach Elohim. Listen, there's power when you speak His name. Spirit of God, breath of God, the breath of God, Ruach Elohim. Omnipotent, all-powerful, Creator God, who spoke and it was so. Listen to what He says to you and speak what He says by His grace and by His power. It's a great moment, man. It's a great moment because every word that He speaks and every letter that He has is filled with His life. Amen. Say amen to that. That's a good word. That's a good word. In other words, get your mouth open. Kathy was listening again to the message I did one Sunday night on El Shaddai, the night He gave us that revelation. I got totally inspired again by listening to it this morning. I thought, wow, that's good revelation. God's giving us something. There's great power in His name. We need to worship and praise and magnify this great God. His word's living. Let it come alive inside of you. The Ruach, the breath of God. The breath of God, the breath of God, the breath of God. Let that blow upon every one of our lives. Go to bed thinking about it. Wake up thinking about it. God, You're going to blow on me today. When He blows on you, something has to happen by His grace and by His power. The kingdom, it's happening. I don't know about it. It's happening. God, I just want it to happen. I want to receive it by Your grace. He's doing it. It's building. The more that we worship Him, the more that we praise Him, the greater His intensity and His power becomes. Amen. The greater the intimacy, the greater His power. Greater the oneness, the greater the power. It just happens. You can't. That's what it's all about. I mean, think about it. That carbon copy of Jesus, being imitators. And see, the good news about that is we don't have to try to imitate Him. He's giving us the power because of His blood to imitate Him because we're beloved children. I mean, David's new son, Aaron David, doesn't have to try to confess every day that he's his son. He's his beloved son. And I promise you that David and Jessica are pouring out love on their new beloved son. Amen. Amen? Amen? You remember how wonderful it is before kids ever do anything wrong? You just think they're going to grow up and be so special, and then you keep, But he's a beloved son. Cherished. Breathed over, breathed on, spoken to, talked to. You ever notice how before kids get old and crusty and you get older and crusty, you just talk to them stupid like? You're so cute. You're so smart. And it's wonderful, is it not? You love to do it. It makes you feel good to do it. It makes them feel good to do it. We need to get with God like that. And I promise you, He's saying good stuff to us. He's treating us as beloved children. He's speaking His word, His power, His grace, and His might. Is that good news? That's good news. The tabernacling of His presence, the ingathering. All right? There's a lot that goes into the whole Feast of Tabernacles, but the whole thing is it's a fulfillment, and it's a sign. Everything that God does in the harvest is getting ready that one day when that great harvest comes, Jesus Christ, as he manifests more and more throughout the whole earth, then appears in the clouds of glory and absolutely brings all things into fulfillment by his grace and by his power. But this is a moment when Jew and Gentile alike are getting ready to flock to Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God is doing it. Let there be reaping. Yes. What is it? Ruach Elohim. Say it. Ruach Elohim. Breath of God. That's the Spirit of God. Ruach Elohim. There's power when you say it. Amen. Ruach Elohim. Rock off. You're brooding. You're there. You're stirring. You're moving. God, you're moving. You're up to things I don't know about. But I'm going to declare you Ruach Elohim. Rock off. You're on the move, God. You're on the move. You're going to show off this year. You're on the move. And you've declared for us to share. Haya, let there be reaping. Haya Samada. Powerful, isn't it? The devil come at you, try to steal something from you. Just put it in. Haya Samada. Just whack him. Amen. I mean, speak to him with what you know. You know that. That's given to us by revelation, is it not? Haya, let there be samada. Let there be reaping. And God keeps reaping. Now, I stand amazed every time my telephone rings. Every time somebody sends me an email, I sit there, and I mean, I'm grasped with the fact that, God, this is time of reaping. And the angel is saying to him who is sitting on the cloud with a golden crown on his head and a sickle in his hand, reap. Put a sickle in and reap, for the hour has come. There's an hour that's here for our generation, for our decade, for this moment. However close the end is, I don't know and I don't care. I just want the Lamb of God to get his glory and that he will reap the nations and bring them to himself. Amen. Haya Samada. Let there be reaping. Haya Lasada. Don't know what Lasada means. I look for it every day. I confess it every day, waiting for the next moment when God tells me what it is. But he's bringing it forth. He's birthing it. It's producing something I don't know. Do you see that? He's up to something I don't know, but I know he's up to it. So, Haya Lasada. Haya Lasada. Haya Lasada. And I can promise you it has something to do with light. I can promise you it has something to do with sight. I can promise you it has something to do with the kingdom of darkness being overcome by the power of the Lamb of God. That I know, all right? Haya Lasada. Because of what? The Ruach Elohim is breathing. He gave us two. Isaiah 37. I'm just reminding us of this, folks, that we don't need to live wondering what in the world's going on. We need to live in the world knowing, I know what's going on. God has said we're to prophesy to the breath, just like Ezekiel, received from the Father in Ezekiel 37. To breathe, breathe, breathe. He said, prophesy those dry bones. Prophesy to the dead. Understand, let there be reaping. And we've been prophesying to the breath of God, the Spirit of God. He's breathing on those that are dead. The man Chris who was here today, I shared it. He said, I've fought God all my life. Ruach Elohim is breathing out, touching his life. I did not know the man before today, but the Spirit of God is breathing. We know Lisa that she was with, that he was with. Listen, the Spirit of God is breathing. And he said, you prophesy, prophesy to the four winds. Prophesy to the four winds. Breath of God. Breath of God. Breath of God. Breathe. Breathe on these slain that they may live. That's what we're doing. Every intercession, every prayer, every prophecy, breathe on these slain. And God's doing it. And we're getting ready going to this season. Tabernacles going in and on Wednesday evening. Sundown through then, I think it's the 30th through the following 7 days, and then the 8th day is to be a celebration of joyous jubilation. So this Sunday, all right, we're going on, Daniel, with this whole thing with Ephesians. Realization then, that's this in the midst of this Feast of Tabernacles. I'm looking forward to the revelation that's going to come. Not necessarily has to be about the Word of God. Ephesians, those things that God's depositing in us that's bringing forth the kingdom. Listen, that's a powerful book. Hallelujah. All right. So then, it'll end then into next week. Begins this Wednesday, sundown, and then all the way through the next week, 7 days, and the eighth day. And then on that following Sunday, I am believing for God to tabernacle with us. That's what it's all about. I want to talk about it. I want us to believe for it. So I'm telling you all this tonight to engage our hope, to engage our expectation a little more to understand this is the season that we're in. And He's up to things with His kingdom that I don't know about, but I sure want to receive it. Amen. Now listen, we need to believe as we've never believed before just for His kingdom. You don't have to work at anything. You just have to receive by His grace. You have to understand where you're planted. You have to understand the things that God is saying to us by His grace and by His love. Amen? Amen. We got all this? It's good stuff, man. This is good stuff. What God is giving us out of His Word, listen, this is a great moment. Now, we want to pray at this moment, if there's anybody else we need to pray for, but for Butch and Mark. And Butch, is, of course, we know has been going into the prison. And then Mark and a group of guys went and they shared with us. And Mark really felt that he's to go back on a regular basis. And he's going in this coming Tuesday night for the first time again. And they're going to be going in. And we just want God to bless them. Amen. So I would ask for Mark and for Butch to come up here. And we'll come. And elders, anyone else that might want to pray that has a word for them, and we just want to listen to what the Father is saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is a good God. Amen. Hey, let these things stir within us. Listen, this is a great, great moment, and He's up to great things, and we need to just thank Him and love Him and praise Him. Listen, His Word, cherish His Word. Amen. 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 I mean, it's 10 minutes until 9. Don't be tired. Amen. Listen, this is a great moment in His kingdom. I mean, folks, we need to realize it's all about the kingdom of God. We say it and then we don't. It's all. I mean, what would happen if we really lived like He's wanting us to live? I tell you, powerful things would happen. What if we really become those imitators of God as beloved children? Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we just love You. We receive from You right now by Your grace, Your mercy. Father, we just want to thank You. We want to thank You. Your Word very clearly says that Jesus has a great heart for those that are imprisoned. Father, where they be behind bars because of crimes and difficulties that have been presented, or whether they be behind the bars of some kind of pit and destruction and bondage and addiction and hatred and fear and abuse, Father God, we are just declaring tonight that You're setting the captives free. Father, I bless You right now. And Father, I want to thank You that right now You're going to anoint Butch. You're going to anoint Mark with a realization and a power that when they walk in there, even if those men have to stay behind those bars, which most of them are very permanently there, Father, I just want to bless You right now that You're going to release through them the hope, the expectation that they can live in freedom, not bound by the things of the world, not bound by the sins of the world, not bound even by the laws of the world, but living in the liberation of life in Jesus Christ. Father, may that which they were absolutely denied and they rejected, Father God, maybe not even knew, they even knew anything about it. Father, may they find life in Jesus Christ and they may find You working powerfully inside of their lives. Father, I just bless You. Father, just anoint, I'm just hearing this. God, anoint them with life. You've given them life. Life is on the inside of their spirits, oh God. May the law of life and liberty be released into them and through them, oh God. Father, we bless You. We bless You. We bless You. We bless You. Father, I thank You that when they open their mouths, that they're releasing something that touches these men. Father, that goes beyond those men's ability to conceive even what happened, but they just know God has touched me. They know that the manifest reality of God has touched their lives. Father, may you rise up within us that we will understand that you have anointed us to set the captives free with a precious message of Jesus Christ. Father, we declare freedom in Jesus Christ. We declare liberty in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Other words, prayers.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. The word says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And it also says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So God is going to increase your anointing. And also you're going to flow more in the gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Those things that will help. But it comes by the anointing. So what you do every day is cry out for more of the anointing. Because when you go in there with the anointing, it's the anointing that's going to set the prisoners free. And you know, also in Isaiah 61, the words that are spoken there about Jesus, I'll just read part of it. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound. You know that verse. And so we know that all people who are lost are prisoners. You just happen to be going to the ones that are behind bars. But they're all prisoners. But the God is speaking to you particularly, Butch, is you have the anointing of an evangelist. So you don't have to just be an evangelist to the prisoners behind the bars. He wants you to begin to open up and let him work in you to be an evangelist to those who are prisoners outside the bars. I don't mean, you know what kind of bars I'm talking about. You don't have to stand outside the bars. Okay. But be ready and receive that anointing. Just let him do a work in you. He's wanting to increase your anointing. He's wanting that anointing to set people free upon you. And also, when you're in the prison, remember in the book of Acts where Paul and Silas were in jail and the earthquake came as they were singing and it opened all the prison doors, it was the jailer and his family that got saved. So he wants you also to open your heart to those who work in the prisons as well. Because a lot of them are prisoners. They get to go home at night, but they're prisoners too. God wants to increase your anointing. And anybody who goes in there with you, that same anointing that will go with you is going to open up people's lives and unlock them. Because prison steals your today and it steals your tomorrow. It steals your hope and steals all your plans of the future. But God said, I've given you a hope and I've given you a future. And that comes from the liberty. They can be free even behind the bars. Amen. 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 Good.
Well, as soon as you guys came up here, I just began to see your arms out folded like this. And they just begin to increase in size, like someone's on massive steroids or something. I mean, just these gigantic arms. And they just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I said, God, what's this for? And it's for the bringing down of the strong man. It's for the tearing down of the strong man. And that's the thing that Gary was talking about, the increase of anointing. He's increasing the capacity, the arm strength, the physicality and the spirituality to take down the strong man that's binding them, that's holding them captive, even though they are in prison. So he's increasing your strength.
I don't know if I've got all this. You're to be the real deal. Yeah. So you're to prepare yourself as the real deal. And So what if you mess up? They'll be there next week. I know that's cold. But, brother, you're going to grow. You're going to grow. So what if you mess up? What are you going to? There's nothing to mess up about. So relax. Bring life. You're to be the real deal. And you are. You've already shown it by stepping forth. Your heart heard the cry. Yeah. Yeah. You heard the cry of the Spirit. Your heart cried. Spirit heard your heart. You've stepped forward. So enjoy. Learn to enjoy this. Yeah, you're gonna really find a real enjoyment and satisfaction in seeing life go forth and being absorbed and just breathed in by these men. These are special guys. I mean, I can't help it. To me, they're special. I know they've committed crime, but that's beside the point. You don't look at them as prisoners. Criminals, you don't see them as those. You see them as people wanting to know Jesus, wanting to receive truth. So you're getting ready to just be able to grow, but enjoy the growth. Relax. You're going to mess up. I guarantee you will. So just relax. Yeah. You get to leave, though. And there's a question for you. Have you made that call? The word that Gary spoke to you about the evangelist outside the bars is connected to that call. Do not tarry. Yeah, you know what it is. You make the call tomorrow. Yeah, because that's going to open up another portion. And that's also connected to the word I gave to you yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, it's all there.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, Butch, I'm seeing you have a new sword. You're holding the sword down like this. You kind of have your hand on the side, and you're just it's just a new sword. And there's going to be just a new word, a new authority, a new sharpness. We've just of taking this word and using that word, but you're just standing there with a confidence that you're just going to be able to take that word and wield, and the Spirit in you is going to wield that word by His own grace and by His own power. But I see a new sword. It's a new sword. It's a new time of revelation insight. And Mark, what I'm seeing with you is the fact that you're holding a vessel, kind of a funny-looking vessel. I've never seen one quite like it. It's probably about this high. And it's probably about that big around. It's a little bit bigger at the bottom, but it's just kind of, it comes up, it's a little bit smaller, but not a lot smaller. And it's probably about, like I said, about like that. And it's not anything that's pretty, and it's very oily. And God is giving you a vessel that is going to be oil that you're going to hold in your hand. And what He's going to give to you and what He's going to pour through you, He's going to pour His oil, His Spirit, His revelation. And that's just going to fill with oil. It's going to get oilier. And when you speak, it's going to be like you're pouring oil on those that are hearing. And it's just going to be a refreshing, cleansing, anointing oil. I mean, your words are going to be like oil of the anointing of God and the Holy Spirit of God that's just going to be poured out. That's just going to saturate them. It's going to saturate you. I mean, it's going to be running full. And when you speak, it's going to be like God pouring oil into those men. Amen. That's powerful. Yeah, that's powerful. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I saw you walking like in a ball of fire, and as you were wherever you were, it was like dead grass all around you. It was getting burned up, and it was charred and black, and then just those little sprigs of green started coming up, you know, real fresh, real bright, vivid green. And what God told me was that ball of fire around you is the word of your testimony. Not just that you got born again and you know, that's part of the word of your testimony, but your daily interactions with God and the daily manifestations of His goodness and His grace in your life, the word of your testimony of your walk with Him is going to burn away some of the dead thinking, the dead mindsets, the dead, you know, preconceived mentalities that they have, you're going to be burning that up so that new life can spring up through what they have thought in the past. The bondages that they've had beyond the bars, the bondages they've had in their brains about how things are and what their reality is, you're going to burn up that dead stuff with the word of your testimony. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, please.
Oh, yeah, I can read them. Okay, yes, I can do that.
I thought you were wanting me to translate it into English.